Hello.
Yeah, Esther.
Okay, I'm going to have to put my voice out louder.
Hi, Nestor.
Hi.
Hi, Shalom. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good, good.
Esther, hi. How is everyone?
Good, how are you? Shalom.
Shalom.
I'm gonna go on mute now, guys.
Okay. Brandela.
Hi, Brandon.
Hey.
Goodness. I mailed your papers today.
Great. Great. That's great. Can't wait to get them.
Hana.
Hey,
Hana.
Hana. Hey, Anna. Hey, Malka.
Hey, Malka.
I'm having a hard time hearing y'all. I don't know why. Since I have my voice as loud as it'll go.
Yeah, mine too.
Hannah, this is Hannah Esther. I'm not, I just wanted to thank you for sending that email to me with the name.
Oh, okay. Well, when I find anything, you know, that's either Hannah or Esther, I'll send it to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go back on mute.
Okay.
One of these days when I become automated or up to date, I'll be able to go on computers. Right now, I'm not. This is Leia Esther. It's coming to come.
You don't have a computer?
No.
Okay.
It's coming.
Well, you've got a telephone, so that's a beginning.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're starting with Ruth 333, is that correct, in section 60?
Yes, and for some reason I have my voice as loud as it'll go, but it's I'm not hearing you very well.
Is this any better?
No, actually I was having a hard time even hearing the other lady, so I kind of wonder if it's my phone. I'm going to try one more time of looking at my volume, but to make sure, no, I have it all the way. I'll just put it real close to my ear.
Okay. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kutshav Rechu Ishkinte Bid Hilur Kimud Hilur Hilur Kimu Liakta L'shem Yud He Bavav He B'Yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehinu Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Koraneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Koraneh Vadai kain bara derua misava hawa dehu hivya bisha hawa ugin de kain atamasipra de malach amavet kachelea leaho dehu besitra bilea Umineya kol medorin vishin umazikin v'shedin v'ruchin atyan le'alma. It was evident that Cain was the son of the impure spirit, which is the evil serpent, because he originated from the side of the angel of death. He killed his brother. Therefore, the murder of Abel is identical to the sin of eating from the tree of knowledge, and both were incited by the serpent. And as in the affair of the tree of knowledge, in which the angel of death gained control over the whole world, here too he gained control, taking out the soul of Abel. Cain comes from the side of the angel of death, and all the evil habitations, the demons and harmful spirits, come to the world from him. Questions? Comments? Thoughts? Somebody has some background noise going on. They're moving something around their phone, so I appreciate it. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the verse?
Well, this is where we saw death for the first time, I think. And
that's correct.
I was just wondering how it made Adam and Eve feel, because they had seen that they hadn't died. And I'm sure Cain and Abel aren't little babies. Well, they aren't little anymore. They aren't young.
Well, they were never young.
They were never young.
They were never little babies. They were born.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they were born from Eve as the mother, and so they were born as babies, but they immediately grew to be 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean they were emotionally 20. It doesn't mean that they were. But I believe that the sacrifices weren't brought until there was about 20, somewhere around 20, 25 years after their birth. But
mm-hmm.
that's from the Midrash, and I don't remember the exact number.
But I bet it was a shock.
Yes, the death of Abel was a shock to Adam and to Eve. And the Midrash says that Adam separated from Eve, again, blaming her for bringing death into the world because of the eating of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. And that's this verse is reinforcing that by equating the death of Abel to the eating of the apple, or eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge, good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause death is good and evil, is it not?
Would you repeat what you said?
I said, death is both good and evil. And then I asked, is it me?
You see it's a welcome, sometimes it's a welcome guest. And yet at the same time, it also isn't.
I believe somebody else wanted.
Yes, why would Adam want to separate totally from Eve when the commandment was given, from what I understand, by God to him about what you, and he just seemed to have listened more to Eve than he was listening to God.
Well, I'm not sure that that's true, but I understand the concept behind what you're saying. But the question that you're asking, God gave the commandment to Adam and Eve together.
Yeah.
He told them to be fruitful and multiply. But Adam is blaming Eve for Cain killing Abel, because she was the one who incited, she was the one who ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil first. And she invited him to eat also. So, being human, Adam blames other people rather than himself.
Yeah,
and the
I guess that's what I was trying to say. He also should have blamed himself.
But the person that's most easily blamed is always your spouse, because that's the closest person. But the Kabbalah teaches very clearly, you never blame anybody, but you accept your responsibility for creating everything in your life.
Right.
But as Hannah was asking, what did Adam and Eve do, or what did they feel? The loss of a child is the most painful experience that one can have, according to many of the commentators. And even, women who have miscarriages feel that way many times as well. They don't really have a connection in the sense of a child yet, but they have a connection between what they carry in their body over those months.
Yes.
So the basic idea, Adam separated from Eve for 130 years. And that separation was on the level of cohabiting with her, being intimate with her. And then it was after the 130 years that Seth was born. Are there other questions, or should I go on?
I think you can go on.
Yes. Verse 334.
Did the others feel that way?
Yes, go on.
Verse 334. Amar Rabbi Yose Kain Kina Dim Dorin Bishin Diato Misitra Dim Sa'ava Le'alma Uvatara Tiyu Karbana Dayakriv Misitra Dileya Vidayakriv Misitra Dileya ahidiktiv, vayehi miketz yamim, vayave kain mipri ha'adama, vigomer rabbi shimon amar, vayehi miketz yamim, mai miketz yamim, dahu ketz kol basar, Umani hu da malach amavet. Rabbi Yossi said, the name Cain indicates a nest. The Hebrew word is ken, of the evil habitations, a nest of the evil habitations that come to the world from the impure side. Afterward, they brought sacrifices, each from its own side. So it is written that it came to pass at the end of days that Cain brought of the fruit of the earth. Rabbi Shimon said, it is written at the end of days. What is the end of days? It is the end of all flesh. What is the end of all flesh? It is the angel of death, indicating that the sacrifice Cain brought was from the side of impurity. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, since we're backtracking a few verses, you know, we had already learned the two words, yamim, ending with the final mem, and yamin, ending with the final nun. I guess that's a reason to me. I noticed that there are three yamins in this verse. And I think we've always thought the meaning of end of days meant the end of the age, you know, the time before the coming of the world to come. But here the Zohar is telling us a different meaning, that the end of days has to do with evil and with impurity. But I was kind of fascinated when we read the verse that Yamim appears three times, and then Miketz also is three times, and Miketz stood out to me because that's the name of the Torah portion, and it's the Torah portion that we read the Shabbat before Hanukkah, and I think in having done roots with the Torah portion names, that I think I had found that Kates, which is mentioned on that last line in the verse, has to do with end point as well. So I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of hidden in this verse with making those connections.
There's a lot hidden in every verse. But please, answer you. I'm getting some feedback, so I apologize. Miketz means from the end, or at the end. Ketz, without the mem, means end. It always means end. But as we learn, it can be... I've muted the phone, so hopefully the feedback has stopped. If it hasn't, unmute yourself by pressing *6 and let me know. And as soon as I'm finished answering the question, I will unmute the phone again. The word ketz means end. Miketz means from the end or at the end. But as we learned last week, in this section, it talks about yamim, meaning the end of days, or yamin, the end of the right, or maybe it's in reverse. I don't remember exactly which is which. I always get it confused. But what this is saying is that Cain brought a sacrifice from the fruit of the earth that was connected to the other side. It was based on the end of days as opposed to the end of the right. And there are always two ends. There's the end of the right column and the end of the left column. The end of the right column is positive. The end of the left column is negative. So I'm going to unmute the phone. hopefully the static from the feedback will be less. But you're able to ask questions or continue the conversation as you wish. Does anybody have any questions?
I would have thought the definitions would have been just the opposite. Because yamim ending with a final mem, and mem has to do with water. And yet yamin ends with a nun, and we kind of think of nun having to do with falling, but I guess that goes along with end of the right. But I would have expected the letters to have been reversed.
Well, the mem represents male, and male
okay.
is the essence of sharing. In Hebrew grammar, the final mem relates to words that relate to male.
Okay.
And then the final nun represents the female.
Okay.
Should I go on to the next verse, or do we still have discussion on this one?
I think it's okay. If the others are okay.
Okay.
Anybody have any other questions on 334? Okay, 335. Bekain mehahu gets yamim ate karbana daika. Dika amar miketz yamim, bila amar miketz yamin. Ugin kach getu v'daniel, v'ata lech laketz. V'ta nuvach, v'ta amod legora alcha, amar lo leketz hayamim. O leketz hayamim, amar lo leketz hayamim, dekain miketz hayamim, ate. Cain brought his offering from this end of days. To be exact, the text uses the word yamim, days, and not yamin, right. Hence it is written of Daniel, and you go your way till the end and rest. And hence stand at your destiny. Daniel asked the Holy One, blessed be He, the end of Yamin or the end of Yamin? For Yamin is an evil klipa. And he replied, at the end of days, Yamin. But Cain brought his offering from the end of Yamim, which is the side of the angel of death, because he brought his offering from his side. Questions, comments, thoughts. Is the verse clear?
Well, I'm just thinking, did he ever have a chance? I mean, if his, I'm going to say father, for a lack of a better term, was the angel of death. Was that the only thing he could bring, or he just chose to bring that offering?
According to one midrash that I read, Cain had looked at the fruit that he had and said, look, I'm going to burn it up as an Ola offering. I'm going to, you know, it's going to go to God as smoke. Why do I have to give him what looks to be the best fruit? I'm going to give him, you know, the rotten stuff because it's going to be burned anyway. And when Abel brought his animals, he brought the best of the animals. And that's one explanation. Doesn't mean that it's a correct one, because the Midrash can, you know, always has different sources. But that you should understand that idea, because that's a very human approach. It's something I can't use. I'm going to offer it to God. Does it have to be the best? And, you know, they didn't have a Torah, so they didn't know that the animals or the offerings, the fruit or whatever, if it was not perfect, it couldn't be offered. And that's really the cause of the physical cause of the destruction of the first temple, as we learn when we read the Midrash and the Baha'i.
Is this a matter of obedience is better than sacrifice?
Obedience is not better than sacrifice. Obedience is accepting the command. Choice. When you choose to bring a sacrifice, that is the better approach. If you accept God's command, and that's the reason that you're bringing the sacrifice, then you're actually creating an idol. God does not want us to accept his command just to accept his command. He wants us to do what his commands say, but by personal choice.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? Well, our class tonight will be an essay by Rabbi Amplak. And I will see you at the 7 o'clock West Coast time class. Shalom to everyone.
Okay, shalom. Thank you.
Shalom, thank you.
Thank you.